Rainer Heinig. I'm part of the Stellar Astrophysics Group at the University of Potsdam, and today I'm going to talk about HiMARS-XA binaries. So Jan already gave an introduction to this kind of system. I will slightly extend on this before then we'll talk about my current project, which is actually the dichotomy of wind-fed HiMARS-XA binaries. So let me start with a brief recap of massive stars and their winds. So we already had a couple of talks on these kind of objects during this week. Therefore, I only want to mention two important points. First of all, these objects have strong stellar winds with high velocities and a huge mesosphere. But also important is that most of these objects are actually formed in binary systems, but only a few percentage of these systems stay bound after the first supernova explosion. So I already mentioned, Jan already mentioned that HiMARS-XA binaries are a binary system consisting of a massive star and a compact object. These objects are characterized by a strong X-ray luminosity, which can reach X-ray luminosities of 10 to the power of 39 erg per second. So in this talk, I will concentrate on the wind-fed HiMARS-XA binaries, which usually consist of a UB-type supergiant and a Newton star. So the Newton star is sitting in the supergiant wind and accreting the matter from this wind, which is then producing this huge amount of X-rays. So an artist's impression of such a system can you see here. So how do these systems form? At the start, one has a normal binary system consisting of two massive stars. The more massive one, the primary, will explode first in a supernova, leaving then a Newton star. And if the system survives this supernova explosion, the HiMARS-XA binary is formed. After the second supernova explosion, one then might end up with a double Newton star, which can be a source of gravitational waves. So let me briefly talk about the accretion mechanism. Here you can see a cartoon from Ostreicher and Davidson from 1973. You can see here the orbit of the Newton star, which is sitting here, and the massive star is sitting somewhere there, and the stellar wind is coming from the right. And all the matter of the wind, which is passing by this Newton star within the accretion radius, is losing enough energy within this tail shock that it is eventually falling to the Newton star, where it is first stopped by the dipole-like magnetic field of the Newton star, and it is forced to co-rotate until it then falls onto the Newton star itself. So this radius is also called the Bondi radius, after Bondi and Hoyle, who 1944, who first described this kind of accretion. And then in the 70s, Ostreicher and Davidson showed that this mechanism is actually sufficient to power the high X-ray luminosities observed for wind-fed HiMARS-XA binaries. So important to remember is that the X-ray luminosity is actually very sensitive to the parameters of the donor star. So the X-ray luminosity is proportional to the accretion rate, and which is then proportional to the mesosphere rate of the donor star divided by the velocity of the matter passing by to the power of 3. So, wind-fed HiMARS-XA binaries are usually closed binary systems, so the compact object is sitting deep into the wind of the donor star. An illustration can you see here. We have here this donor star, then it's wind, and the compact object is sitting there, and it is emitting X-rays, and it's ionizing a certain fraction of the donor star wind. So if you have a black hole, for example, this fraction can be large, and the simulation of such a system can be quite complicated, as shown by Jan. So in our case, we have Newton stars, and Newton stars usually only affect a small fraction of the stellar wind due to their X-ray emission, especially if one considers that the wind is wind inhomogeneities. Here you can see another cartoon. You have here this UB supergiant and its clumpy stellar wind. And this Newton star is sitting there, and due to this increased densities of the clumps, the recombination is actually, in these clumpy stellar winds, stronger compared to smooth wind, and therefore the fraction of the stellar wind which is affected by the X-rays emitted by these Newton stars is smaller in a clumpy stellar wind. So there are two types of wind-fed Hymers X-ray binaries. The first group are the persistent Hymers X-ray binaries, also called the classical Hymers X-ray binaries, which emit X-ray luminosity in the order of 10 to the 36 Erg per second. In the galaxy, we know about a dozen of these objects, and all these kind of binary systems emit this strong X-ray luminosity, although they show a certain amount of variability. You can see such a light curve of persistent Hymers X-ray binary, and you can see that there is a stochastic variability, which is interpreted as a sign for wind clumping, so wind inhomogeneities. The second group of wind-fed Hymers X-ray binaries are the so-called supergiant fast X-ray transient, which most of the time can be found in low quiescent X-ray phase, where the X-ray luminosity is more than two orders of magnitude, usually smaller compared to what is observed for this persistent Hymers X-ray binaries. However, these quiescent phases are interrupted by sporadic X-ray flares, which then can be two orders of magnitude higher compared to this low quiescent phase, and these flares usually last only a few hours. Here you can see such a light curve of such a flare. Yeah, the system is LM Bell. As the system is in its quiescent phase, and you have this outburst, which lasts only a few hours, and afterwards it is back to its normal X-ray state. So several hypotheses have been put forward to explain the different behavior of this system and this strong variability of the supergiant fast X-ray transients. They range from peculiar supergiant winds, these explanations, to shifts between different regimes of accretion onto the Newton star, which might be triggered by eccentric orbits, by magnetic reconnection, or within this gated accretion models, the inhibition of matter onto the Newton star, the accretion of matter onto the Newton star might be inhibited by centrifugal or magnetic barriers. Here you can see another artist's impression of this very massive clump scenario, which might be emitted by the donor star and then accreted by the compact object. So none of these models can actually explain all the parameters and properties which are observed for the wind-fed Hymers X-ray binary, but all of them sensitively depend on the parameters of the donor star. However, the donor stars are usually only poorly studied. Therefore, we initiated this new UV survey with the HST, which covers basically all wind-fed Hymers X-ray binaries which are observable in the UV, which are only a few, since most of these wind-fed Hymers X-ray binaries are actually highly reddened. So, and simultaneously with these HST observations, we also obtained X-ray data with various instruments. So the pilot study for our survey was performed by Gimenez Garcia earlier this year. They studied one persistent Hymers X-ray binary and one supergiant fast X-ray transient, and they indeed found some different characteristic difference in the wind parameters of these donor stars in these systems. So our survey will extend on this study and also test their results. Here, for example, you can see one of the HST spectra which we obtained. It's one of our persistent Hymers X-ray binaries, and you can see it has nice wind per cygni profiles, and which allow us to precisely determine the wind parameters of this donor star. So, how do we do this? We analyze them with synthetic spectra calculated, and therefore we need sophisticated code. In our group, we use and develop Power. Power was already introduced by Andreas earlier this week. Therefore, I will only mention two points which are important for the modeling of this Hymers X-ray binaries, which is, first of all, we can account for these wind inhomogeneities by this microcrumping approach, and we also can account for the X-rays emitted by the Newton star by super ionization. Okay. So the spectral analysis, the aim of the spectral analysis is to reproduce the whole spectrum, not only individual lines. So here you can see the normalized HSC spectrum for LMWell. The model is in blue, and the observation is in blue, and the model is in red. And we have this HSC spectrum, but we also have for most of our objects optical data. So here you can see the blue optical range, but we also have usually H alpha, and for some objects we also have the fuse range, so the far UV range, which also gives us some useful information. So from this kind of fits, we can then obtain the stellar parameters, like the stellar temperature and the luminosity, and most importantly for our study is the Meissner rate and then the thermal wind velocity. So far we studied four supergiant fast X-ray transient and two persistent timers X-ray binaries. The spectral analysis is basically finished at the moment. We are working on the X-ray data. So here you can see some preliminary results. Here is plotted the modified wind momentum over the luminosity, and the modified wind momentum was already mentioned by Yorick, and it is a measure for the strength of the stellar wind. What you can see here by these blue and green triangles are the results obtained by Morgan et al. 2007 for normal O and P-type stars. And if you overplot these results with what we obtained from our spectral analysis, you can see that these wind field timers X-ray binaries actually coincide with these results obtained for these normal O and B-type stars, and they follow this wind momentum luminosity relation. So what we can say from our spectral analysis is that the winds of these Doma stars are quite normal, not only from the perspective of this modified wind momentum, but also from the perspective of the clumping properties. So to summarize, there are two types of Winfeld-Timers X-ray binaries, the supergiant fast X-ray transients and the persistent Timers X-ray binaries, and both show quite different properties in X-rays. To understand these systems, it is indispensable to study their donor star winds. Therefore, we initiated this new UV survey with the HST. The analysis of this data is basically finished, and at the moment we are working on the X-ray data, which was obtained simultaneously with the HST observations. So what we found is that there is no clear difference between the wind parameters of these supergiant fast X-ray transient and the persistent timers X-ray binaries. So there's still this open question how to explain this strong variability of these supergiant fast X-ray transients. And we're still working on it, but what we can say at the moment is that the donor star winds also of these objects are normal and not peculiar, which already disproves some of these peculiar wind hypotheses. Thank you.
Questions? Yes.
So I didn't hear what you said. What kind of X-ray data is it that you have?
We have for some objects we have XMM, and for all of the others we have. Now I forgot the name of this the telescope. How is it called?
Is it Chandra?
No, it's not Chandra. It's not. No? What's that? I look it up. I can tell you it later.
Yeah, I was just wondering. So, is it. Do you have some lines in there?
Yeah, we have for some of them we have spectra, yeah.
And can you analyze that with the same code?
No, unfortunately not. The code is not yet in can't calculate the spectra at the moment. So what we do is we can include so the continuum basically of what is contributed from the X-rays, and this in accounts for the superionization, and which then affects the population numbers, and this effect we can see also in the HST spectra.
Any more questions? If not, let's thank the speaker again.